Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Electran, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt.
Beer I had for who is this? I don't even. Is this Reed or Christopherson?
It's Reed.
I had one more for
this. This is Chris Christopherson.
No, but it isn't.
Yes, it is. Yeah, don't it's see awful. Now you're trolling me.
And I fumbled through my closet for my clothes and found my cleanest.
Like I'm going back to the calls. This is horrible. This is a horrible way to start
somebody,
the time hour.
Somebody tweeted. So she sounds like the Billy Bob. Sling blade.
Yeah. Hey, Carl, don't you want to go for the French fry potato?
I always confuse Kenny G and Miles Davis, both great jazz musicians.
Stop it! Julian is in Woonsocket today.
Oh, my God.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, man?
Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Boston Red Sox being the first great baseball team of the millennium, having won four championships in 15 years. I don't necessarily disagree, but I was wondering, like, why is that figure held up more than the San Francisco Giants winning three championships in 5 years? Thanks, guys.
Oh, okay. I have no idea, because there have been other good teams this, you know, last 18 years. There have been a lot of decent teams that have been good for a while. Like, the Cardinals have been good. Cardinals have been to, I know they've only won two, but they've been to the World Series. They've lost other ones. They lost two to this team.
Yeah. It's been a good run for them. No doubt about it. You know, they continue to win. And I think there's a certain appreciation for that. You know, Belichick's talked about it too. That, you know, it's impressive when you could go out and you could set the bar high. And it's not just, okay, let's do one and done. When you can win multiple throughout a stretch. And for a guy like Dave Dombrowski to come back too, it's the first time you saw him really start to embrace it and enjoy it. Now, I know he had the T-shirt on with 108 wins or whatever, and that was cute and all. And he kind of was subdued in the last two, but... You know, he hasn't won since what,
97 with the Marlins.
So, I mean, that's a lot of years for a guy that's been in the game that much. And, you know, you could tell it meant something to him. And especially with, you know, making the moves for guys like Eovaldi and obviously Pierce when he picked him up. And it's just, everything he did has worked out. He says, you know, at the time we all laughed at him. You know how important Joe Kelly is to us. And you know what he means. Like, what are you talking about? You know, you just didn't believe it at the time. You didn't believe in the bullpen. I don't know if they really did, too. And they didn't want to go over the luxury tax, and they didn't want to get in on guys like Britton and stuff. I mean, that's all in play, too. But, I mean, it's a big payroll. They want it. Good for them. It's great for the city.
97 Marlins. What a roster. Yeah. Bobby Bonilla, Moises Alou.
Dude, they were loaded.
Gary Sheffield, Devon White, Edgar Renteria, when I think he was a rookie that year. Maybe in a second year. Jeff Conine, Charles Johnson was their catcher. They're a good team. That's when they had Kevin Brown. Kevin Brown was pretty good. Yvonne Hernandez was young at that point and was good.
Yeah,
good team they had back then. But, you know, in this sport, in baseball, it's, I'm sorry, but you have to recognize that payroll is a big part of it.
Sure is. Sure is. I mean, you could sit here and I, you know.
It's not as even as it is in other sports.
Yeah, we keep score here in Boston. It's what we do. You know, Celtics have won one. The Bruins have won one here over the last, you know, 10 years or so. The Patriots obviously have won five since 2001. They've been to eight Super Bowls. And I think the NFL is a unique thing because of the salary cap. I mean, you've got to keep everybody under the cap, but it's really been two constants, Brady and Belichick. Red Sox have done it with different sets of players.
And by the way,
players.
That's not to say that other teams that don't have high payrolls haven't won, because other teams have won. But when you separate yourself like the Red Sox and the Yankees do and the Dodgers do,
it's
and all
different.
These teams, right?
Or Texas back when you spend money.
I'm sorry, but you're not going to get as much credit for always being in the mix.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're always in the mix. Because how many true teams, how many other teams are always in the mix? Always in the mix. And there's not, I don't know, there's not
many
teams.
The A's have been in the mix. They prided themselves on, and you know, doing it differently, right? Doing it about metrics or, you know, doing it with low cost. And we're going to do it differently. Hey, we may not win the whole damn thing, but at least we're going to give ourselves a chance to compete for it. It never worked out for them. But, I mean, you know, until you go back to when they were able to bash and mash, you know, in the steroid era. But.
Yeah, what the money allows you to do is make mistakes and not have to pay for them. You don't. I mean, yeah. You pay for them with your money. You don't pay for them by your team suffering and not having talent. Oh, Hanley Ramirez? He's not playing well anymore? You just cut him and let him walk. It doesn't matter.
Now, Nunez picked up his offseason.
Oh, Ruzne Castillo, right? your scouting staff completely screwed up what he was as a player. Doesn't matter. We'll still pay him the $12 million a year. No problem.
Panda, Hanley, him. Yeah. Like, yeah.
This year, you know, Pablo Sandoval was making $18 or $19 million from the Red Sox. He got paid that this year by the world champion.
Unreal.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, we just pay him anyway. Oh, he sucked. He didn't work out. So we just pay him. What? There's limited teams that can do that.
Yeah.
So they don't pay for their mistakes is what it comes down to. That's all. I mean, I just think that has to be a part of the conversation.
It has to be. Definitely.
Connor is in Medway on the trade deadline today. Connor.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I had two quick thoughts on the Patriots, and then I kind of want to piggyback off that last conversation. So for the Patriots, you know, if they're going to go get a wide receiver, you have to think that he's probably going to come in and replace Chris Hogan. So
why? No. About... God, no.
Really?
Well, Hogan's back in his role to where he's effective.
That's true. But to a certain extent, though, you think they would add an outside threat more so than an inside guy with Julian being the way that he is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you rotate guys. Yeah, I got a little worried yesterday when I saw Edelman get up slow a couple times. He's kind of kicking that foot, and I'm like, oh, God, it's not the knee. That tells me that's the foot.
This just made me think of something. I said Philip Dorsett earlier is a guy that could get traded because he's been so phased out.
Hogan could.
If you're acquiring another receiver, why can't Connor be right there? Not so much that, oh, he's not, you know, you're bringing a guy and Hogan's still here and then you bench him. No, what if he's in a deal?
Right.
Last year of his contract, what if he's in a deal?
He said he's going to make bags of money next year, right?
Yeah, you want your bags of money? Well, guess what? Yeah. You're not going to do it here, so don't you know, go elsewhere.
Like I said earlier, and anything's possible, you know, and then, you know, there was a bunch of buzz in the stadium, like, ooh, Hightower, healthy scratch or not? You know,
I think it's a curious decision, don't you?
Like, hey, Matt, here you go. There's your guy. You want him. We're keeping him out for you. Call me in the morning.
Fred in Norwood on Rob Gronkowski. What's up, Fred?
What's going on, guys? What's up,
guys? What's up?
I'll always think of Jerry Reed as being Coach Fred Beaulieu from The Waterboy. But I don't know if you guys watched that. I think that movie's horrible, but it's funny.
Oh, it's awful. Horrendous movie.
It's like one of those movies you see on like
but it's
TBS.
Funny.
Yeah. Like with commercials. Yeah.
TBS Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, say that. Yeah. I mean, go gumbo.
Anyway, you guys think that Gronk being on the Guerrero thing, and I know he's still big, but people are saying he's slimmer than he used to be. Maybe he's not hitting the weights enough. He doesn't have the mass, the muscle to keep taking the pounding that he's taken his whole career. And to take that a step further, did Belichick kind of see this coming from maybe what was going on last year, and that's why he tried to move him? I mean, is this something that's going to continue with it, or is he hurt?
Well, I think it's indecision that where you say, okay, if you don't want to play, man, and you're not in, and you're going to jack around, and you're going to ride motorbikes, and you're vroom vroom us, and not walk in our building, and not respect the team or whatever, and make us look like that, I'm going to start chopping you until you figure out what you want to do. And he figured out what he wanted to do. Hey, Bill would not give the type of contract he gave to him and the type of incentives that if Gronk was up to speed playing at Gronk level, that he would easily hit those incentives. If he was ready to move on from the player or he's trying to hold the player down. That he doesn't operate that way. I'm like, okay, you're in. And we know he's the greatest tight end to play. They know they need him, and they got to continue to feed him. It's up to the quarterback to get him up and going.
Hey, back to the baseball for a quick second. Yeah. I know that people want to talk about, is it a dynasty? Is it the greatest team of this century? All that stuff. I want to know where you rank this World Series team against the other three. The other three that they've had. Okay, we'll do that coming up next.
All right, I like that.
After we get a check of the action update, here it is.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard. at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Patriots are 6.5-point favorites at home on Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers. Patriots coming off a win over the Buffalo Bills last night. The Boston Bruins are +110 moneyline underdogs tonight of the Carolina Hurricanes. That means a $100 bet gets your $100 back plus 110 at the ticket window. The total is 6, shaded on the under. Celtics 9-point favorites tonight at the TD Garden against the Detroit Pistons. The total 208.5. The Celtics handed the Pistons their first loss of the season by 20 on Saturday. For VSiN.com, I'm Mike Sennett, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
From the top on down, here comes a 1-2 pitch. Sox, as you already know by now, won the World Series a couple nights ago. They'll have their parade tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. At this time tomorrow, they will be rolling through the streets of Boston.
Hammered.
Celebrating their win.
What kind of plane were they on the other night? That thing was sweet. Or yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah. I'm losing track of the days.
You concern yourself.
That thing, oh my God, nice big pods laid back. Well, that's pretty cool.
Long flight, man.
Yeah.
Long flight.
It's got to be one. I bet it's like one of those Delta big boys.
Sure.
With the pods.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Nice. That's cool how they were all sitting up together, though, you know. And you just go through it, and it's Brock Holt videoing, kind of, you know, streaming the thing, and he sits and he talks to Price, and there's Mookie, and you go back, and then there's Z-Rod, you see Kelly, you see Martinez eating, and they're doing that song thing, and it... And you go, but like, okay, there's a lot of free agents here. This team isn't getting everybody back. I know Nunez picked up his option, Jelly Knee, good old Jelly Knee there. But it's not going to be the same team next year. Never is. That's the tough part. That's the tough part about baseball is you really can't keep that thing intact and rolling. You know, free agency is going to hit them a little bit. Hot stove starts soon. Everybody else ahead of you a little bit. But you said you want to rank them?
Yeah, where do you sort of rank them?
Obviously, oh, four.
Well, where do you rank these teams? And I'm not talking about what was the most fun or what was the most memorable or sentimental or any, you know, 2013 had a lot of emotion attached to it for everything that was going on at the time. 2004 was the first time in 86 years. No, I want to discount all of that.
Okay.
I want you to put them all in a vacuum.
Okay.
And I want them to play each other.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Okay, I think the easiest thing to do is put 13 at the bottom. Of the four, I think 13 is number four.
I would agree with you on this. Okay. Good move. I think you're one for one so far.
13 is number four. What we just witnessed, I think, is number two. I think the team in 07. Wait a minute. I mean, because you had Pedro in 04 and Schilling in 04. You know, Lester was money. Beckett was good. I don't know. I think I may flip a coin between.
Okay. When I do this, though, right, when I do this, I don't even give a lot of credit for the 108 wins.
See, but people
do. The 108 wins to me is just a reflection of they were better than the rest of the league, and that was proven in the end. But
they won differently, though.
I wouldn't give the 108.
Baseball's changing.
I wouldn't give the 108 the credit. I would, by the way, I'm saying this. I'm putting them number one.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
I am.
Wow.
But I think it's based on the results in the playoffs.
Okay.
Not the 108 wins.
So you beat two 100-win teams to get there, right? So you beat the Yankees, you beat the Astros, and then you went out and you took care of the Dodgers in five games.
And I believe the 2007 team.
People don't give them enough credit because people go back to 04.
Now they didn't have to deal with the sort of adversity and the weight of the 86 years that 04 did.
Yep.
But I think just, you know, talent roster wise, I think the 07 team was a better team. I do.
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
And the way they were, the way the pitchers went.
I think the 2017 was slightly.
See, this is what.
Just a tad better than the 04 team.
And this is why I think David Price should have been the MVP, because he reminds you of old school baseball. He's a guy that looked like he could have went 7-8 innings and just keep it going. And the pitch count was down. You know, you go back to those other teams, that's when pitchers would go 7. You'd get your setup guy and you'd get your closer and you come in. Same way the Yankees won it back in the 90s. Yeah, where Pettit would go, or any of those guys would go. Clemens would go. And it'd be Rivera would shut the door and you'd have your setup guys. And you had a good lineup. And just the team had played well together. That's like the way they, all those other teams seems like they won baseball in an old school way, where you had great pitching and your pitchers would go deep and you had a damn good closer and you knew how to take care of the other team. And you would shut the door on them. This team, I think, learned to win with a gut and a feel, and we would change game to game. Lineups changed. Analytics were a big part of it. And I know the game's changing. You adapt with times, right? You've got to adapt. You got to keep up with the Joneses. You know, who cares if our pitcher only goes 3 or 4 innings? If he's in trouble, get him out. You know, we're going with some crazy combination here. We're bringing this guy out of the bullpen, all hands on deck. That never really used to be the way. And I know you could say, okay, Pedro came out of the bullpen back in the day in the playoffs and, you know, did that in Cleveland, and that was great and all, but that was like a rogue thing. You know, not many teams did that. I think this team won differently this year. And to look at the amount of games they won in, I don't know. I mean, David Price, I still think should have been the MVP. I think he made it feel like he was an old-school pitcher in a World Series.
617-779-0985. Peter's in Maine. Peter, what's up?
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. I wanted to get back on this trading deadline for the NFL. I find it strange that everybody's fallen into this thing where a lot of people are leaning to where somehow New England needs to trade up or trade out on the wide receiver end of our game. Is not our problem in New England, if we have any problems at all, wouldn't we want to trade up and try to reassure and stiffen up that defensive backfield, which I still think has issues? And if not, I'd like to know what you guys' opinion is about this idea that I have, that the trading deadline is not that big of a deal, but our execution is. Thanks, guys.
Okay. So get better with what you have. Is that the gist there? Execution.
Trading deadline is a big deal. You know, you've adjusted yourself. You've made some moves to where you could clear some money now, to where if you need to add depth, you go and you add depth. You study your team. Who's better in studying his team than Bill Belichick, or finding out what they need or what they lack? This is where you picked up Akeem Talib. You know, Akeem Hicks, right? Didn't you bring him in around the same time?
You've made minor moves.
I mean,
throughout the years,
right? You know, so you're laughing.
I can't stop watching.
It is the, well, based on the time of year it is and Halloween.
I'm watching a clip that Jim sent me. Because I asked him to send it to me, because he showed it to me on his iPad. It's of a softball game that's being played, and it looks like everyone's wearing a Halloween costume.
And Jesus
gets up to the plate, and it's a home run, and it's amazing.
you hear the shot, and the ball goes off the bat.
Jesus, it's a home run.
Why would?
No, but he pimps it too.
Jesus, who's pitching? Lazarus? Or Towning Thomas?
I can't get enough of this.
Where's that game played? At Mount Olive Park? where are they serving a concession stand?
He jacks
bread,
it.
Bread and wine?
He jacks a home run. It's so great.
This is like built like San Francisco ballpark. It's right up against the Sea of Galilee. Long ball over the right field wall goes into the water.
Hey, John and Quincy is wanting to talk about Gronk. What do you got, John?
Yeah, everybody wants to make more out of this Gronk thing than there really is. I'm sitting watching a game last night with my brother Charlie, and the writing's on the wall.
What did Charlie say about all this?
But Charlie knows. He noticed it right away. He said that Gronk's heart's just not in it anymore. You're looking at a kid who's already contemplated retirement. And he's taken a pound in his whole career, and we get lulled into thinking that, you know, everybody around here eats, breathes, and slips football because of players like Brady and Edelman and Belichick. But You know, Gronk's hats. I mean, you know, I keep going back to my brother Charlie. He understands what is wrong with this player.
How old's Charlie?
He's my older brother. He's 67.
So he's watched a lot of football.
So he's seen a lot of football in his day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he's seen star players and role players and, you know, everybody in between. And, you know, the writings, everybody needs to be Sherlock Holmes these days to make more out of it than it really is.
So
it's a kid whose heart's just not quite as in it as it used to be. And we'll see what he looks like in the bigger games later on in the year.
You know,
Chef Charlie Cullen.
It's part of what we mentioned. The guy who's already contemplated retirement. Yeah, we'd like for Charlie to call, too. I'd like to hear from him on this.
Okay, see?
You know, maybe it is. Maybe it's one of those situations where you get in a big stage, you get a big, important game like this coming Sunday night against the Packers.
Eight grass for $120 this weekend.
And all of a sudden, he's excited and he's engaged and he's ready to, you know, make big plays. I think the entire team was suffering last night from not, you know, feeling the game because it was a Monday night game against a crap minor league team like the Buffalo Bills. I think the whole team was suffering from that last night. We can do that. They can't. They're not allowed to do that. 617-779-0985. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots over the Bills in Buffalo last night. 25-6. A road win, Rob Gronkowski, huh? What do you have to say for yourself?
Road wins are huge. I mean, definitely a tough job grinding it out tonight. That's what we had to do, just keep grinding, keep on pounding, and eventually we broke through. But they're tough. I mean, we always got room to improve no matter what with every game.
Three catches for Gronkowski last night for 43 yards. Next up for the Patriots, they'll be home for another primetime game Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers. The Bruins will take on the Hurricanes in Raleigh tonight. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the call here on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda pilot. Charlie McAvoy put on IR today. It's retroactive to his last game on October 18th. Celtics going for a third straight win, which would be a second straight win over the Pistons. They beat the Pistons in Detroit on Saturday. Tonight they're at the Garden for his 7:30 tip. That game will be heard on 105.7 WROR. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the call. Headlines are brought to you by Spectrum, America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company, hiring field technicians for all their New England offices. Apply at jobs.spectrum.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines coming up at 1 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Second down and 10 from the 35. Hand off to McCoy, and he's hit by Flowers and dropped for another loss. And Trey Flowers penetrating and then flexing his muscles after a three-yard loss for LeSean McCoy.
We should reward for their performance in last night's game, brought to you by Coors Light. Be sure to download the Coors Light Rewards app and start earning rewards with all football season long, is what it says.
Yeah.
Including a video chat with your boy Zoe, as I keep hearing in those commercials. Hey, it's your boy Zoe.
Hey, it's your boy Zoe. I already did one of those.
Based on what you saw last night, who are we rewarding? I think it's going to be the guy we just heard in that
highlight. Trey Flowers. I thought he was one guy on defense that really stood out. I mean, Van Noy had a good night, as did Pat Chung. Gilmore, except for the one pass, you know, he gave up, kind of got crossed up, missed time to jump. Thought he was really good. But Trey Flowers, if you get that from him on a regular basis now, you can start mixing and matching some guys. You know, Dietrich Twice, you didn't see as much of him. You saw more of Rivers. And let's see if they make a move here to get another backer. You get Hightower back, and the front should be pretty good. But that's the best we've seen Trey Flowers in a while. You can just tell he's getting healthy. Gets football legs up under him. He's just strong. He really is. You know, you go back to that week two when Jacksonville had that Super Bowl down there, and they've sort of been in that tailspin. He got really nicked up in that game, got hit in the head. You know, you had the shoulder issue dealing with that, and he's finally back pretty much at full speed. He looked really good last night. So Trey Flowers, he's the one that stood out.
617-779-0985. We go back to your phones. Let's go to Ryan in Weymouth. Ryan.
Hello?
The hell's going on?
Ryan,
hello.
What are you doing?
Hello. Hey.
Ryan, did you have us on hold or something?
No.
All right, hold on one second. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold on for a second.
Hang on.
This happened, that exact same noise and music you just heard, happened on a caller yesterday on Felger and Maz.
What is that?
Where the caller was on the line, and then when we put them up on our system, that noise happened, and then the caller was like, hello, are you guys there?
Is that like a new Selena Gomez
song? I think it's on our end.
Okay, then it probably is. Hardy, what's that movie with Jodie Foster, Contact, right? Or they hear that pinging sound?
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Same thing happened on Felger and Maz yesterday.
That's on our end.
I heard that. All right, Ryan, go ahead.
All right, yeah. I'm sorry. Either way, couple things. I'm glad Sony Michelle is healthy because you saw what was going on with Cordell Patterson and all that. I don't like it. I like the Pats when they're running, run forward, run straight, hard, and make the yards, let the offensive line do what they're. I just think the offensive line was a little confused last night. But
well, they were mismatched, and they didn't get a good, great push last night. And here's the part of the problem people don't understand.
Sony Michel didn't play last night. I wouldn't be declaring him healthy.
Right.
That's here's not how problem. I would be phrasing it.
Here's the problem. You got a kick returner that plays a receiver position sometimes, lined up at tailback, who doesn't really understand the timing of the running game. The running game is much predicated on timing, falling, deviling off, understanding where blocks are. You got to have a feel for that. You practice 9-on-7. You've been doing this for 12 weeks, and all of a sudden you're going to throw them out there and just hand them the ball against a pretty athletic front seven. Those edge guys, they can run. They got a backer that can run. Safeties that can tackle. They're not great at corner, but, man, he played 13 snaps, Cordarrelle Patterson did. He carried it 10 times. This is like the old Sony Michel indicator. When you bring him in the game, remember the Jacksonville one? Ooh, he was in there 20 times. He touched it 17. That trend of the 90% of the snaps, that guy will touch it when he's in there.
It's LeGarrette Blount, same thing.
Yeah.
Same position.
Yeah.
That guy's playing the LeGarrette Blount position. Just think of those two guys.
With your kick returner running it. Hey, Cape Buffalo, we're going to sit high tower. We're going to put this guy in a tailback. Stop it. You didn't. You lost 25-6.
I hate it. I can't stand it.
And, I'm not a fan of it either.
It proves that this team needs to get another guy.
Okay.
What's Kenyon Barner here for? What's the point of him being here?
I don't know.
You don't want to run White. They ran him eight times last night. You don't want to run him through the tackles. I get it. You need to preserve him.
Your boy. Yeah.
And he's not
Deion Lewis. He's not Deion Lewis.
He's not on pace to have 110 catches. Yep. Okay.
And you're going
to
wear the kid down. He's going to get dinged.
I get it.
He's going to get his leg rolled up or he's going to lose a shoulder.
All right. So what do you have Kenyon Barner here for if last night you hand the ball to him two times and you hand it to Cordarrelle Patterson 10 times? Why is he here? Why do you even have him on your roster?
I don't mean to do this to you. You're not using him
in special teams.
I don't mean to do this to you, but if you had, this is a perfect spot last night for a guy like Brandon Bolden. And I know he's not here, but
Bolden would have served you better right now if they had Brandon Bolden here.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll admit it. See, and you know how much I don't.
And that's why enjoy he would make the team.
Watching Brandon Bolden run, but that is where they're at.
That's
and
why
I don't
he would
care.
Make the team in a spot like this to help you in a pinch because he did it in Denver and he helped you.
If Sony Michel's coming back this coming weekend, he's going to play Sunday night. Fine, that's great. I'm happy. I want him back. That doesn't mean that they can't go get another guy off the street. Just the Jonas Gray, Brandon Bolden. At least give me that guy and don't give me Patterson.
I mean, the Steelers pulled Stephen Ridley off the scrap heap last year, and he's been playing for a year and a half now after he didn't play for almost 2 years.
He runs hard, too.
Somebody like
watch
that.
Him a little bit the other
maybe
day.
Maybe all this wide receiver stuff with the trademark, it's a smokescreen. Maybe they're
going
to
get a running back. Find me a back who you are willing to trust to hand the ball off and he can run and fall forward for 4 yards if he gets the blocks. Just give me that guy. I don't love the Patterson thing from last night, and I don't get why Kenyon Barner has a
know,
job.
I don't know how you could. I don't know how you could. You can't sit here and say, boy, oh, so creative. What a great way to twist things up and get through a game by putting him there. You could almost get your kick returner that you brought here, and you're paying $3.5 million to return kicks, and we already saw what he could do in a Chicago game. What if he got hurt last night? How would that have looked? How would that have looked if he got nicked up?
Let's go to Tony, who's in Rhode Island. What's up, Tony?
Tony,
you there?
Tony with a T.
Going once, Going twice.
When he calls, keep moving.
Tony's not there. We got full lines. We will get back to your calls. Also on the other side, let's hear from Giselle. She did her interview last night with Jim Gray.
Hardy's buddy.
Yeah, let's hear that and then get to more of your calls here on Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Giselle, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing fantastic. So, Giselle, how difficult is it to watch these games, even after all these years? Is it still something that you get nervous about because you have no control?
Yes. You know, I definitely, my only instruction is to my hubby is like, you know, get rid of the ball as fast as you can. So, you know, because that's what I'll be doing. I would definitely not want to have those guys after me, that's for sure.
Não é sobre ter todas as pessoas do mundo pra si.
Giselle was on Westwood One with Jim Gray last night. What was the best stuff? I haven't heard. Have you?
I haven't heard.
What do we have back there? Anything good? Anything of note?
Oh, I'm sure. I haven't heard it.
There's my man.
I haven't heard it yet either. We're going to listen to it together.
I'll tell you what, though. Hardy, you would have dug the jacket last night.
Tom's jacket?
The plaid. Yeah, the Tom Ford one. Nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
I like Josh Gordon's jacket. I'm with Beetle.
I like Gordon's jacket, too.
Josh Gordon's jacket looks like he went to the casino and hit big.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy whatever's in the window.
Hell yeah.
Give me that Fendi shirt. Give me that snakeskin jacket. Wow. That's it. Right. He got off the bus and said, wow, that dude makes money.
Let's get this over with.
Stop it. You be nice.
Fine. Just look. We goof on Tom Brady for doing these hits with Jim Gray on Monday Night Football. Are we not supposed to goof on his wife filling in for him? So maybe there won't be anything.
I haven't heard
on.
It yet.
Maybe so there won't be anything
be fantastic,
to goof on. Yeah,
right?
Could be the best thing ever. So here we go.
You know, you wrote about the mental distress, and you wrote about a lot of the injuries that you suffered throughout your career as a model: an ACL tear, dislocated shoulders, back problems.
Hold on a second.
What? Whoa. So she got all banged up modeling?
Apparently.
She tore her ACL?
ACL, shoulder, back problems. Okay. Right. Fall off the runway. Bad things happen.
All kinds of issues. Do you feel that people really don't realize that, you know, modeling just isn't really as glamorous as it may look with the finished product?
You know, it's for sure not as glamorous. I think every model I know has, like, major back pain. But I tell you something. You know, Tommy's always like, why are you talking about it? Look at you. You know, I'm playing football. Like, you shouldn't be worried about me. Look at you. You have a, you know, dislocated shoulder, sore ACL, back problems. I'm doing fine. I'm doing way better than you. And I'm like, he's kind of right. So in the end of the day, you would think, like, you know, a sport like football would be a bit more dangerous, and you wouldn't see modeling as a dangerous thing. But I guess, you know, you definitely – I think it's not healthy, let's put it that way, to be jumping on massive heels.
What?
On what? What was that?
Jumping on what?
Massive heels?
Giselle, I'm going to have to stop you. I'm only making out about every third word. So we're going to back
day,
up.
Hardy, how many hours a day do you think he spends at the stadium?
Well, wait. Can you, before you goof on this?
Yeah.
There might be something real here that, well, she's telling him, oh, you need to stop. You need to stop doing this. You know, your future, your health, all that. Where he turns around and says, look at you. Look at all the injuries you've got from all your modeling. Mm. You suffered injuries in your job. I've suffered some in mine. Mm. What's the diff? Right?
Yeah.
There could be something real there. But you I have know, no idea you what she said. Jumping over what?
I don't know.
I think it's not healthy, let's put it that way, to be jumping on massive heels for years upon years and holding awkward positions for hours after hours. And I think that definitely takes a toll on your body. So we come to the conclusion that, you know, that I feel like I have more injuries than my husband.
I'm starting to think if she would sing like Celine Dion, who has a great voice. You know, Celine Dion has a little bit of an accent, a heavy accent when she speaks, but when she sings, it's
less noticeable.
It flows.
It's less noticeable when she sings.
Massive heels.
Massive.
I don't know what she's saying.
I don't know.
Is that the village?
I don't know what it is that she's saying there.
The bare feet.
I'm going to give it one more time, and then we're going to move on to the next clip.
Be jumping on massive heels.
I don't know.
Oh, Can you play it again? Jumping on?
No. Jumping on massive in heels.
Oh, I thought you may have been on the jumping in massive heels.
That's what I thought. Like they run around like.
Oh.
They run around in heels.
Yeah. Be jumping on massive in heels.
I don't know.
Might be heels, jumping on massive heels.
She says it like Zoe says it.
Yeah. Yeah. She talks like she's from Western PA.
All right, so that's her and her injury.
I think it's massive heels. I think they run around in high heels.
I think that's might be what it is.
Well,
it's bad for your back.
Did she do? Is she getting treatment for him? That's what I think we're about to find out.
And are you now applying the TB12 method, the book that Tom wrote, to pliability and hydration?
You better believe it. I'm the number one TB12 client. I'm there at least 3 days a week. It's really amazing. I actually opted not to do surgery on my ACL. I opted just for rehabbing it.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, here we go. Now you don't need to get your ACL. If you tear an ACL, you just go to TB12.
Right.
And you can elect not to do the surgery.
Right.
Just go get whatever it is they're doing there.
It's really amazing. I actually opted not to do surgery on my ACL. I opted just for rehabbing it. And it's been incredible because it's been a year since my ACL tear, since I tore my ACL. And, I've been going to TB12 and it's amazing. I just skied last, in February, and with just a little brace, and I went down like all kinds of runs, and I was feeling great. So I'm all for TB12 methods in every way, not just the exercises, but also the diet and all that. I think it's really working for me. That's for sure.
What are you showing us, love?
Stop selling me stuff. Good grief. What the hell is the matter with the both of you?
What's happened to that
people
man,
have
Jim
called
Brady
you the
too?
Most beautiful what one, the most successful model of all time. Tom Brady, considered by many to be the greatest quarterback, maybe even football player of all time. Stop cramming this garbage down our throats. What's the matter with you? You think it's helping your legacy? It's hurting it. You're hurting yourself. You make yourself look cheap and petty every time you start peddling this crap again. Stop it. Stop. Good grief.
Let's go back to your phones. Tony in Rhode Island is back on the line. Tony.
You're probably going to think I'm crazy, but let me run something by you. Seeing that Kimbrel's not coming back next year. How outrageous would it be to consider Sale as a closer?
It would be rather outrageous.
Thanks for the call.
I think it would be outrageous. I don't think you can afford to take him out of your rotation. Or I should say, Tony, if you expect to be the same team you were this year again next year, you need Chris Sale to be the same guy that he was. I don't know what his injury, specifically is and how bad it is. But I just think that if you're expecting to be the same team, you can't take him out of his starting role and be a closer. And I don't think the team is going to want to do that. And I don't think the player's going to want to do it.
I'm just thinking that there would be less stress on his shoulder. He'd be throwing fewer pitches. Would open the door for the Sox to go out and get another, top of the line starter. I'm just, it may be outrageous, but it's been done before. I mean, Eckersley did it, and there were several other pitchers. So just throw it out there.
Yeah, I don't think Chris Sale, who's considered a top starter, one of the top starters in the game, is going to convert to being a closer.
I don't think so either.
And I think it's a waste of time to talk about it.
But did you start thinking about, like, Joe Kelly differently in his role, watching him, what he did in the series and coming in just for, like, an inning of relief here and there? I think it's too talented to be utilized full-time that way, but eventually something if he's able to maintain that kind of velocity.
The problem with Kelly, velocity's never the problem with Kelly.
Location.
It's location.
But he was locating.
He got confidence.
If you're asking me if I'm confident that you could like make him a closer and he's going to continue to be that guy over the course of a season, we've never seen it from him. We've never seen that. Give him a try. I feel better about who he is as a pitcher now, but I don't know that you come back next April and he's the same guy again. I have no idea. I enjoyed the hell out of it while it happened in this playoff run because he was incredible.
I mean, can you imagine? Like, I got to the point where I was actually saying, whew, okay, good. Kelly's coming into the game. I felt good about it.
This guy's coming into the game.
It didn't take
extremely well.
Yeah.
Here's the latest from the NFL trade deadline news today. The Texans, according to Ian Rappaport, are closing in on a deal to acquire Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas.
You can have him.
In exchange for a mid-round pick, they are finalizing it. We'll see what happens here. And this is what I would say. This is a good thing, and I'll tell you why. It's a good thing for the Patriots, not because Demaryius Thomas isn't coming here.
The exchange.
Which is what Zoe is selling you on, which he loves.
I don't want him.
It's the fact that he's going for a mid-round pick, which means those prices on receivers have come down from the ridiculous first-round pick that got moved by the Cowboys, which is sort of, I think, really screwed up the whole market here at the deadline, that first-round pick that Amari Cooper got. So Demaryius Thomas is going to the Texans. That, according to Ian Rappaport at this hour, that means I think we're going to see more deals. We've got 3 hours to go until the NFL trade deadline.
That's
and, of course, if anything happens, if there is any news of any rumors or trades that go down, you will hear it right here on the Sports Hub. Here's Hardy with headlines.